Usually, when we think about finding information online, there is this expectation of a really predictable, almost mechanical transaction.
Right, like it's just a set process.
Yeah, exactly. It's like going to a library card catalog, you know?
Yeah.
You type in a request, the search engine hands you a neat little list of 10 blue links, and you just click the one that looks best.
And it is comforting. I mean, we like things to be visible and categorized like that.
We really do. But you step into the digital landscape of June 2026, and suddenly that old card catalog is just completely dismantled.
Yeah, totally gone.
The underlying mechanics of how we seek and receive information have been entirely rewired. So today's mission on the deep dive is to decode this massive shift.
Which is a lot to unpack, honestly.
It is. We're working off this incredible framework from Reach Marketing's guide. It's called Digital Marketing Using AI. And okay, let's unpack this because the numbers here demand attention.
They really do. The adoption rates alone are wild.
Yeah, as of right now, 75% of marketers have adopted AI.
Which is huge.
Right, and they're saving an average of 6.1 hours a week per person. Plus, they are seeing a staggering 3.2 times return on investment on just content drafting alone.
Yeah, and those adoption numbers signal that we are way past the experimental phase.
Oh, for sure.
We're no longer talking about AI as like a parlor trick to generate a funny poem for a team offsite, you know. This is the foundational operating layer of modern marketing and information retrieval.
So it's not a novelty anymore.
Exactly. And the goal here for our deep dive isn't to overwhelm you with tech jargon. It's to give you a clear, actionable map of how that layer actually works. We want to move past the basic prompts and look at how these systems are fundamentally shifting business outcomes.
And that is the perfect place to start because despite those massive ROI numbers I just mentioned, a huge segment of people are still completely failing to get results.
Oh, absolutely. They're struggling big time.
They buy the enterprise licenses, they type in their prompts, and they just end up with, I don't know, a sea of generic robotic-sounding garbage that nobody wants to read.
Right, the classic AI fluff.
Yeah. So if the technology is so powerful, why is the output often so useless?
Well, it really comes down to a fundamental misunderstanding of the workflow. The Reach AI marketing framework actually breaks a successful strategy down into six distinct stages.
Okay, what are they?
You've got research, intelligence, creation, optimization, distribution, and measurement.
That makes sense.
But the failure point for most teams is that they bypass the first two steps entirely and rush straight to stage three. They just treat an advanced language model like a magic vending machine for content creation.
I mean, jumping straight to the creation phase with AI, it's like a chef cooking a massive, complex banquet without ever checking if the guests are allergic to the ingredients.
Or what they even like to eat.
Right. You get a lot of food. You might produce a staggering volume of it in record time, but nobody wants to eat it. It just sits there.
That is a highly accurate way to look at it. What's fascinating here is that the step right before creation intelligence, that's where the actual leverage exists.
Interesting. So, what does that actually mean in practice?
Well, there is a vital distinction to make here between business intelligence and marketing intelligence.
Okay, break that down for me.
So, business intelligence looks inward, right? It
Good.
analyzes your own operations, your sales pipelines, your internal financial metrics. It tells you what happened inside the walls of your own company.
Got it. So it's very internal.
Exactly. But marketing intelligence looks outward. It's the continuous analysis of your competitors, macroeconomic trends, and the shifting, often hidden needs of your target audience.
Ah, so the trap is using AI just to write the blog post, rather than using it to, say, ingest thousands of competitor reviews and analyze market gaps.
Yes, you should be using it to tell you what the blog post should actually be about in the first place.
Wow, okay, that's a totally different mindset.
It is. And let's ground this in the reality of the industry right now. According to Gartner, only 52% of senior marketing leaders can actually demonstrate their direct impact on business outcomes.
Wait, barely half.
Barely half. And the reason so many struggle to prove their ROI is that their content strategy is based on human guesswork, which is, you know, notoriously flawed and slow.
That makes total sense. We just assume we know what the customer wants.
Right. But when you let AI handle the heavy lifting of continuous data gathering, on competitors, say, scraping and synthesizing every single pricing change or feature update in your sector overnight, you ground your strategy in empirical market reality.
So you aren't just guessing anymore.
No, you are responding to mathematically verified gaps.
Yeah.
You can finally prove your worth because you have the data backing up your creation.
I love that. But it feels like this completely nukes traditional SEO, though.
How so?
Well, if you use intelligence to strategize and you use AI to draft brilliantly targeted content, how does anyone actually find it? Search engines are shifting into answer engines.
Like ChatGPT search and Google AI overviews.
Exactly, and Perplexity too. I mean, 88% of marketers are already optimizing for these AI-generated answers. If an AI just reads the web and synthesizes the answer directly on the user's screen without requiring a click, nobody is clicking through to my website anymore.
It does seem scary at first glance.
Right. So what does this all mean? Is traditional SEO totally dead? Should we just throw out the old playbook?
The panic around the death of the blue link is super understandable. But the data paints a very different picture. Traditional SEO is not dead at all. It has simply become the baseline price of entry.
Really? How do you figure?
Look at the analytics for Google AI overviews from the guide. 74% of the citations in those AI-generated summaries come from pages that are already ranking in the top 10 organic search results.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, the models aren't pulling from some magical hidden database. They are extracting from the exact same top-tier real estate that SEO has always fought for.
So if I am ranking number 3 for a query, I still have a chance to be the one the AI quotes.
You have a chance, but it's not guaranteed. And this is where Answer Engine Optimization, or AEO, becomes the VIP pass.
Okay, AEO. Tell me more about that.
Well, ranking number 3 organically is essentially meaningless if the AI overview decides to synthesize its answer and heavily cite the number 5 result instead.
Because the AI just liked their answer better.
Because the model prioritizes information that is structured in a way it can easily parse and trust. If you have brilliant insights, but they are buried inside dense, meandering paragraphs, the AI will just bypass you.
It's going to look for a competitor who made the model's job easier.
Exactly.
Okay, so think of traditional SEO like renting a massive billboard on a busy highway. You get the visibility, you get the domain authority, people see you're there.
Right, you're on the map.
But AEO is like sneaking into the AI's personal filing cabinet and placing your specific highlighted data sheet right in the front folder. You're ensuring that when the machine reaches for a fact, your fact is the easiest one to grab.
That is exactly the dynamic. To get into that filing cabinet, you have to understand the mechanical blueprint of how these large language models actually retrieve information.
Okay, so if AEO is the new VIP pass, what are the exact steps you actually need to take to get your content formatted for machines?
It really comes down to a process called content chunking.
Content chunking, okay.
Yeah. The strategy is to build highly concise, self-contained direct answers of about 40 to 60 words and place them directly underneath question-based headings.
So specifically like H2s and H3s that mirror exactly how users phrase their queries.
Exactly.
Let's break down the why of that, because 40 to 60 words sounds incredibly specific. Why does the model care if my answer is 50 words or like 300 words?
It has to do with how retrieval augmented generation, or RAG, functions under the hood. When an AI engine needs to answer a user's prompt, it doesn't just read an entire web page like a human does.
Right, it doesn't have eyes.
No, it breaks the text down into mathematical vectors. It searches for a dense cluster of information that mathematically closely aligns with the user's question. An LLM has a limited attention span for specific factual extraction.
So if it's too long, it loses focus.
Pretty much. If your answer is isolated in a tight 50-word chunk, immediately following a relevant question heading, it forms a highly concentrated vector. The AI can grab it with high confidence.
I see.
But if that same answer is stretched across a 300-word paragraph full of marketing fluff and transitional phrases, the vector is diluted. The math gets fuzzy, the AI loses confidence, and it just moves on to a competitor's site that provided a sharper chunk.
That is wild. You're basically engineering the density of your knowledge so the machine can swallow it whole.
Yes, that's exactly what you're doing.
And tying that together with FAQ schemas on the back end, I imagine that just reinforces it. You're handing the algorithm a perfectly labeled box of facts.
Which is exactly what it wants.
So speaking of handing things directly to the algorithm, I want to talk about this newest trend from the text, the LMS.txt file.
Ah, yes. The LMS.txt file.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. Is this LMS.txt file basically just a specialized menu we hand directly to the AI bots? Kind of like how we use the old robots.txt file for search crawlers.
The robots.txt comparison is a really solid way to conceptualize it. The LMS.txt is an emerging markdown file that sits at the root of your domain.
And what does it actually do?
Its purpose is to act as a highly curated map, telling an AI crawler, hey, here's a clean markdown summary of our brand And here are the direct paths to our most vital FactDense pages.
So it strips away the visual code and the formatting.
Right. It leaves just pure machine-readable text.
It sounds like the ultimate cheat code for getting cited by Perplexity or Google Overviews. Like, why wouldn't everyone do this immediately?
Well, you have to be careful with that assumption. Context is super critical here. While LMS.txt is definitely gaining traction among developers, recent studies paint a more grounded picture.
Right.
There was an SE ranking analysis of 300,000 domains that showed it only has about a 10% adoption rate as of early 2026.
Oh, wow. Just 10%.
Yeah. Furthermore, no major AI provider has actually confirmed that implementing this file directly boosts your likelihood of being cited. It is not a magic bullet.
So we shouldn't drop everything to rebuild our entire site architecture around a single text file?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Adding an LMS.txt file is just good, cheap digital hygiene. I mean, it takes a developer an hour to implement, and it lays groundwork for future crawler updates.
Right, that doesn't hurt.
But do not confuse a fancy routing file with actual content quality, genuine domain authority, deep expertise, and that incredibly tight 50-word chunking architecture we talked about. Those are what actually earn citations today.
The map doesn't matter if the destination is a wasteland.
Exactly.
But, okay, let's think about this practically. Building these perfectly structured 50-word chunks across an entire massive website, continuously analyzing competitor gaps and formatting schemas.
It's a lot of work.
It creates a massive operational bottleneck. Humans simply cannot write and organize that much micro content at scale without burning out. Which means the actual tool set has to evolve to keep up.
Oh, absolutely. We can't just be typing isolated prompts into a chat window anymore.
So who or what is actually doing the heavy lifting now?
Well, the evolution of the tool set is happening rapidly, and it's splitting into specialized lanes.
Run me through the major players right now.
Sure. You have Claude, which has a massive context window. That makes it unparalleled for ingesting your entire brand style guide and maintaining a deeply consistent voice across really long-form analysis.
Okay, so Claude is for the deep, long-form stuff. What about ChatGPT?
ChatGPT remains the most versatile cognitive scratchpad. It's great for quick ideation and rapid task execution. Then you have Gemini, which is heavily favored for teams embedded in the Google ecosystem.
Right, especially for pulling live interconnected data for ad campaigns, I imagine.
Exactly. And finally, Perplexity. It's built almost entirely around live web citation, making it the premier engine for deep research and checking how cancer engines are currently perceiving your brand.
Having a specialized tool for every task makes a lot of sense. But honestly, even with the best tools, requiring a human to manually open Claude, paste in a prompt, copy the output, open a CMS, paste it in, format the H2s, and publish it.
It's tedious.
It is. That is still a painfully manual workflow.
And that brings us to the most significant shift in the industry right now, which is agentic marketing.
Agentic marketing. Let's dig into that.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we are moving away from the era of conversational, one-off prompting and entering the era of autonomous workflows.
So the AI is doing more than just chatting.
Right. An AI agent is not just a chatbot waiting for instructions. It is a system given a broad goal, armed with access to your software stack. And it's capable of executing multi-step processes on its own.
Walk us through what that actually looks like in practice. Because I hear automation and I think Zapier. How does an agent differ from a complex automation?
Good question. An automation follows a rigid if-then rule path. If X happens, do Y. If it hits an unexpected error, it just breaks.
Right, it's very fragile.
But an AI agent has reasoning capabilities. Imagine an agent integrated directly into your customer relationship management software, your CRM. Its ongoing goal is simply to reduce churn.
Okay, so it has a goal, not a specific task.
Exactly. So on a Tuesday morning, entirely on its own, it scans the data and notices a segment of highly profitable users hasn't engaged with your platform in 90 days.
Oh, wow.
It cross-references that segment's past behavior with a new feature you just launched. It reasons that this feature would appeal to them.
So it's actively connecting the dots.
Right. The agent then drafts a highly personalized re-engagement campaign, pulls the necessary product images, builds the email in your marketing software, and finally it just pings a human manager on Slack.
Wait, really? It does all that?
Yeah, it sends a message saying, hey, I've identified a churn risk and drafted a campaign. Please review and click approve to send.
It is doing the data analysis, the strategic reasoning, and the execution all in one continuous loop, stopping only for a human thumbs up. That is mind-blowing.
It really is a game changer for efficiency.
But wait, let me play devil's advocate here. If we are handing the keys over to autonomous agents to synthesize data and draft entire campaigns, Won't search engines eventually realize the web is being flooded with machine-generated content and penalize it?
It's a common fear.
I mean, we all know these models can hallucinate facts or miss entirely obvious logical leaps. Won't Google just penalize all this AI-generated content anyway?
That is the exact tension point the industry is grappling with right now. But Google's governance stance on this is actually quite clear based on the source, and it surprises a lot of people.
What's their stance?
Google does not penalize AI-generated content simply because it was written by a machine. It penalizes bad, unhelpful, spammy content.
So the source doesn't matter, just the quality.
Exactly. If an agent produces a piece of architecture that is highly accurate, deeply researched, and perfectly structured to answer a user's query, Google welcomes it. The algorithm cares about utility, not the author's carbon footprint.
That makes sense.
However, your point about hallucinations is the single biggest threat to this model.
Because if an agent sends out an email offering a 90% discount instead of a 9% discount due to, like, a token prediction error, you are on the hook for that.
You are 100% on the hook. And this highlights a glaring roadblock from the source material. 58% of teams cite a widening skills gap as their top AI challenge.
58%? That's a huge bottleneck.
It is. It's not about the tech anymore. It's about the humans wielding it. Only a small fraction of professionals have received actual job-specific training on how to manage these systems. The bottleneck is the human capability to govern the AI.
Which is why the concept of the human firewall is non-negotiable.
Absolutely.
Let's look at the AI content agency model detailed in the guide to see how that firewall actually functions. Reach marketing integrated AI across their entire production workflow and managed to reduce their content production time by 40%.
Which is a massive efficiency gain.
Huge. But the critical caveat to that success story is that every single piece of content, every output generated by an agent, still goes through a human editor.
It has to. Human in the loop is the ultimate safeguard.
You can't just let it run wild.
No, you need human editors not just to catch obvious hallucinations, but to manage the nuances that AI fundamentally lacks. An agent cannot understand subtle shifts in cultural context. It doesn't intuitively grasp empathy.
Right, it's just predicting the next word.
Exactly. You need a human to ensure copyright compliance, check for data privacy leaks in the prompts, and aggressively protect the brand voice. The purpose of AI in this ecosystem is to eliminate the repetitive, soul-crushing administrative tasks.
Like formatting those 50-word chunks or structuring FAQ schemas we talked about earlier.
Exactly. It is designed to replace repetitive labor, never human judgment.
If you remove that human firewall, you aren't building a cutting-edge marketing strategy. You are just accelerating the speed and scale at which you publish a liability.
Very well put.
So to pull all these threads together for you listening, surviving and thriving in the digital landscape of 2026 requires a complete inversion of the old playbook.
It really does.
You have to prioritize marketing intelligence, letting AI ingest the outward realities of the market before you ever generate a single word. You must fundamentally restructure your digital presence for answer engine optimization, utilizing high-density chunking to capture that 88% of AI visibility.
And you can't forget the governance piece.
Right. Finally, you have to transition toward agentic workflows to handle the scale while maintaining a relentless human firewall to steer those AI agents and protect your brand's integrity.
It requires a really delicate operational balance. You are leaning heavily on the machine for speed, scale, and pattern recognition, while relying entirely on the human for truth, empathy, and strategic connection.
It's a true partnership.
But you know, as you audit your own workflows and start implementing these frameworks, there is a broader implication to consider that builds on all this text.
Oh, what's that?
Well, we've spent this entire deep dive talking about how you can use AI to market to your human customers, right?
Yeah.
But as platforms like Perplexity and Google Overviews become the default interfaces for consumers, AI agents are increasingly the ones answering questions, doing the research, synthesizing the reviews, and making recommendations on behalf of the user.
The machine is acting as the ultimate gatekeeper for the consumer's wallet.
Exactly, which raises a fascinating, entirely new frontier to ponder. How long until your highly optimized agentic marketing AI is really just trying to persuade your customers' personal buying AI?
Oh, wow.
What happens to the fundamental nature of digital marketing when it's ultimately just algorithms talking to algorithms?
That is wow. From the old predictable library card catalog of 10 blue links to complex autonomous agents actively pitching products to other autonomous agents. The entire banquet has changed, and it turns out the guests might not even be human anymore.
That's a lot to think about.
It really is. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the mechanics of the digital world around you. Keep refining those VIP passes, and we will catch you next time.